it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, don't forget, you want to go see those sexy duo from Cody and Gold. They're live at Community America, Red Friday tailgate, 11 to 1 today, 9060 Northwest Skyview Avenue. That's where they're at. Go say hi to Cody. Go say hi to Gold. Tell Gold he's such a smooth ride.
He really is, right?
But speaking of a smooth ride, I don't know if he likes me saying that, but it's Big Daddy Sean Smith joins the air now. Sean, how we doing on this Friday, my man?
Man, I'm just now leaving practice, actually, preparing. We're playing tomorrow in the Catholic Bowl against Nolan Catholic. So it should be a good game.
But, Mary full of grace.
Yeah, something like that. Just trying to get a... Trying to get another W, you know, that's all.
I'm just bringing out my Notorious B.I.G. lines, man. I figure you got that reference.
Yeah, I already know. Come on, man.
That's right.
I'm a New York guy. I got my biggie. Come on.
That's right.
So what did you take away from last Friday?
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos,
maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sean, and moving forward, how can we change things up?
What I take away from last week, to be honest with you, I'm not going to say it was bad. It wasn't great. It's the first game. I'm not concerned yet. Well, I'll be concerned after this weekend if we don't get a W. It's going to be a tough one, but I think we should win. We should if everybody do what they're supposed to do. But last week, you know, everybody want to blame Chris Jones. Mm-hmm. The little certain, you know, the little spat he was having. That's part of the defense. I mean, I just feel like we got to stop them, stop the running game early, and we got to get turnovers. We got to cause more turnovers.
Yeah, you mentioned Chris Jones, and look, he admitted he was out of position on that final play. But I need more of Chris Jones, man. I need him affecting the passer a lot in this game. Can he get back to that level that we saw, you know, recently with Chris Jones?
Yeah, but see, this is the thing, though. When you demand a triple and double team, that means somebody else got to get open and get off. So the pressure's on Chris, but I mean, I think he's still going to get to the form he's in. There's no reason for Chiefs fans and the haters to hit the panic button. If this was week 8, yeah, I'd hit the panic button. Come on, we started off slow. We start off slow sometimes. The problem is, the standard is everybody's so used to us being 6-0, going to 8-0, 10-0, you know what I mean? So we don't get our first loss till week 12. That's what everybody used to. We got our first loss early in the season, we got a little bunch of bruises, and we also lost Worthy early in the game.
Right.
That's a major factor in the game.
Yeah, like discuss that from a player's perspective. When somebody like that goes down, what does that mean? What's going on the sidelines?
What that means is because now the next man is up, and then as you know, if you're not the starter, you haven't been getting a lot of reps in practice and getting the timing down with Mahomes. That's the biggest thing. And Travis bumped him. It was a mesh route and he bumped him. Worthy might need to get in the weight room a little, get a little stronger, but, you know, we'll be all right. I mean, what I'm surprised is we haven't brought in a veteran receiver off the street, especially with Rice being suspended. We still need another threat. Or even trade for, hate to say it, but I'm part of the media team now, Tyreek Hill. You know what I mean? Bring him back. I still think he got something left in the tank.
Speaking of bringing it back, you watch Super Bowl, obviously, that defensive line for Philadelphia is the same, kind of the same defensive line coming into this game. What do the Chiefs' offensive line need to do against that defensive front this time around against Philadelphia?
First, don't get spit on.
No doubt, dude.
Okay?
No doubt.
First, don't get spit on.
Yeah.
And then second, what, yeah. Second, protect Mahomes.
Okay.
And Pat, we trust. We gotta protect him. So I look for the Chiefs to do more screens type of game, quick passes, quick game passes because of their D-line. I'm not so big on a Philly secondary like that, but their front seven is pretty good. Mm-hmm. I just think we got to get going early.
How do you get a guy out of their game? Like obviously, you know, now Jalen Carter can be got, right? And we saw that. How did you and how can they get a guy like Jalen Carter going where maybe he does something to spit and get ejected again?
Oh, just talk shit to him from the jump, from pregame, warm-ups. You know, if I was still playing, I would have had a smart comment already by now in the media to make bulletin board material. Yeah. But then, you know, just smack him in the mouth, really. You just got to take the fight to him. That's just the matter of it.
So what would you have said this week if you were on the team? If you're the Chiefs, it's Wednesday or Thursday, and, you know, the media's rolling in, and you're telling people to eat pickles and things like that. Like, what would suck on a pickle, whatever it was. What would you say this week as trash talk?
This week as trash talk, I would have been in a locker room. You guys have been by my locker. Yep. I probably would have some sunflower seeds or a cup somewhere, and I would have just been spitting them out. Just spitting them out, just preparing y'all for what was going to go on Sunday. It's hard. Like, that's just nasty for somebody to spit on you bodily fluids. That's just, ugh. I mean, you might as well kiss to me. You might as well have kissed that.
No doubt. Where's your respect level for Jalen Hurts in this game?
I'm always going to respect. I always got to respect him. You know why? Because he's a Super Bowl champion.
Yep.
So you have to put the respect there for him.
Yeah, I think you do. I think he's a good quarterback. What do you think?
I think he's a good quarterback. He's a top 10 quarterback. He won a Super Bowl.
And an MVP in the Super Bowl.
And MVP. Mm-hmm. And he's a game changer. He's not just a pocket passer. He can run. He you have to put a spy. He is Lamar Jackson, but just on a quieter level.
Okay. Last one here for you, Sean. When you look at this game and you take down their offensive weapons, Devontae Smith, A.J. Brown, Saquon Barkley, Jalen Hurts, who would concern you the most when you go into this game as a defensive lineman?
Me, who concerned me the most is stopping and running. If we get Saquon stopped, I think we'd be in a good situation.
No doubt. What do you think? Give us a prediction for Sunday.
Man, I sucked last week at predictions, and I sucked at – well, I lost in my fantasy league last week, too, by 0.5 or something because the Vikings quarterback went off on a tear in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
But my prediction this week is 31 Chiefs, Eagles 24.
I love it, Sean. I love it. We'll be watching. You'll be watching. Good luck with your high school game this week, and take care of business there first.
All right. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me on the show. I love you guys.
Yes, sir.
Love
you. Sean Smith, baby. Coming up on the other side, we're joined by Fox 4's own Harold Kuntz. He joins us for the roundtable here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is Leo Chanel, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
It is roundtable time. Our guest this week is Harold Kuntz of Fox 4. It is brought to you by Kansas Lottery. Get in the game with the Chiefs Kingdom Scratch Ticket, only available from the Kansas Lottery. Top prize is $75,000. Plus, enter drawings for a chance to win Chiefs experiences. See kslottery.com. Harold, how you doing, my man?
What is going on?
Not much, man. Ready for
Pumped
this game?
Pumped up.
Ready for this game?
It's a big weekend. I love it.
Big weekend. A lot going on.
Love it.
Our Chiefs versus your Eagles, man.
Stop.
See, why would you do that to the man? That's not fair. Now, I wasn't going to bring it up that you're a Philadelphia
you
fan.
Me in just to say that. You know what? I'm out.
I would leave too, Harold. I would absolutely leave
this
for him to do that to you.
This man the whole week was like, oh, yeah, we'd love to have you on the round table. You know, blah, blah, blah. It's going to be great. It's going to be fun. Yeah, sure. It's going to be ice cream cones. It's going to be amazing. And then all of a sudden, oh, yeah.
Come on, man.
Welcome to the Thunderdome, man.
Yeah, we appreciate you coming
in. I have lived here
now.
Longer. Much longer, actually, than I lived in the great Northeast.
Yeah? How long did you live there?
You had to throw in the great.
The great Northeast. Mm-hmm.
That's where I grew up. I would not use the term great.
I'm 95.
There you go. Now, we appreciate you coming in here for this big matchup at 325 on Sunday. first take of this game, like what's your radar say about this game?
My radar went way up after the Brazil game when I kept hearing energy and words that you're like, what?
Yeah, you
they're
too,
not
huh?
showing it?
Yeah.
At least they've been accountable, which is my other word right for this. They've been accountable. They've said that. But I like to see a lot better pass rush from this defensive line. I like to see I don't know anything from this defensive line. I think all of them, to a man, have kind of called themselves out. But now you have to prove it on the field. Because if you don't have any pass rush against the team, I don't care what you think about Jalen Hurts. If you don't have any pass rush, it's going to be a long day.
It is. Yeah. And, you know, we were talking to Sean Smith about that. To me, it's Chris Jones. And then Sean goes, yeah, but you got two or three guys on him. It's tough. That means somebody else has to step up. And he's absolutely 100% right about that. Chris Jones needs to be the catalyst. But we also need a guy like George Karloftis, who got a payday now, to step up. Mike Dana, who's been around long enough to step up. Charles Amenihu, you know, to step up. And they brought Derek Nottie back for a reason. You know, like, let's go.
Yeah,
you know?
Omar Norman Lawton could make his debut.
Yeah, so, yeah, and then you got the two young guys as well that are in there.
They're very high on Ashton Jelani.
I know
too.
They are. And he's been pretty decent, you know, in the limited action that we've seen. But, like, everybody's got to step up on that defensive line right now.
Yeah, and the communication with the safeties has got to, I mean, that's got to be better too. I mean, the reason why you saw those arguments publicly is because, like, the frustration boiled over to the point where it just couldn't wait to the locker room.
Right.
Especially when you saw that 3rd and 14th conversion from Herbert. So that's what's going on with them. I mean, the defense, and even Steve Spagnuolo admitted yesterday, he's like, hey, I mean, I could have called a little bit of a better game too. So that group, that room right there is like, okay, there's accountability now. Mm-hmm. We know we messed up. Now let's not mess up in the next game.
Is it okay for me? Because this, and even Mitch again brought it up again today. I don't think they were mentally prepared for that Brazil trip, man. You hear after the game, obviously the energy level wasn't there. They've been complaining about travel since July with the preseason games. The more now that I go back and look at all the kind of Easter eggs leading up to that thing, I almost feel like, and I hate saying this, like it was approached from a standpoint of something that's in the way instead of an opportunity.
Sure.
You know, like I think they just made so many excuses and complained so much about the early travel in the season that ultimately affected them. And then they lost their, you know, their number one weapon in three plays. But
yeah, but I actually looked at some of the game, like the Packers and the Eagles played that same Brazil game last year, and both teams the next week played very sluggish games.
Did they really?
Yeah. So I the Eagles started 2-2.
Yeah.
To start the season.
And I think they were talking about firing him.
And I think a lot of that had to do with the fact that they won the Brazil game.
Right.
But that a lot of that had to do with the fact that they were playing, you know, the competition was like mostly NFC South teams, just like the Packers, I believe. They played like the Titans and the Colts, I think. So, and they looked very sluggish except for one game. I think they beat the Titans pretty bad. But it has an effect on you. I mean, there is some effect to that. Now, they've had the rest so, and they're playing at home. But going to Brazil for your first game is a lot different than, I don't know, playing the night before at home against a team that was perceived to be a little weaker to you because Dallas had just lost Micah Parsons. So it's going to be fascinating. But again, if you're at home, if you're at Arrowhead, if Tyrann Mathieu's in there, you know, about to bang the drum, he looks like he's about to give these guys a pregame speech.
I think so, too.
If you cannot, and they said this, too, if you cannot get motivated for this, if you can't get a little bit second wind of energy, then you have more questions than answers about what we're doing out there, because they've got to be fired up for this game. And it's not only that, you don't want to go 0-2. We know about the statistics of playoffs and 0-2. Like, you can make it, but no team's ever won the Super Bowl. So it's like, hey, there's a lot on the line here, even though it is week 2 and it's not over. And again, Giants are next on the schedule, and I believe Jaguars after that. So it's like, yeah, there's some time to make some room, but you want to go out and win your home opener.
Absolutely.
You don't want to lose your home opener after all this talk all season long, which, you know, yes, you can flush it. You can flush the Super Bowl, but you can flush the Super Bowl tape because that's not a reflection of who you are. But you can't flush the result. It's there. You're going to hear about it. So, like, this is your opportunity. Go out there, do something.
Is it fair to say that maybe San Diego was a look ahead? I know it's a divisional game. I know it's the first game, but you had this as game 2 as your home opener. Is it okay to say that maybe they were looking ahead a little bit from a defensive standpoint? I think offensively they were okay. They would have been fine had Worthy not gotten hurt, you know, but from like a defensive standpoint, is there a look ahead to this?
Yeah, I don't think there was a look ahead to San Diego. There might have been a look ahead to Los Angeles, but not San Diego.
Yeah, Yeah.
I mean, they play Oakland too. The AFC West, where I believe the only Kansas City, the only team that hasn't moved is Denver, historically.
Yeah, it's true.
So,
but wait.
I know. You never know what happens in the future. But no, I don't think they're overlooking them. I do believe the long trip had it. Yeah. Maybe it was the fact that they left, you know, a day after the L.A. left.
Right.
Maybe. And you saw the practice fields that L.A.
God,
had.
Yeah.
So,
in Lee's Summit.
And I mean, like, you think about it. The last two trips they made, New Orleans and Sao Paulo, pretty extravagant trips. And one Super Bowl, you know, there's so much entertainment with that. But in Sao Paulo, they were also, you know, there to entertain as well as try to win a football game too.
Right.
I mean, I've never been a big fan of playing important football games in other countries.
Right. Like, that should have been like Chiefs and Panthers.
I don't think you should put divisional games.
I agree with that.
That for me, I don't think you should do that. Yeah, right. But that's just me.
So let me ask you a hypothetical: who plays more snaps this Sunday, Xavier Worthy or Juwan Taylor?
Juwan Taylor.
Okay.
So he gets one?
I believe he plays one snap, yes.
Were you there yesterday?
Yeah.
Obviously, there's times you can show things and sometimes you can't. He didn't go out and run any routes or catch any footballs yesterday, right?
No, I mean, media portion, for those who don't know, media portion is you watch stretch, and then while they work on special teams for a bit, you put your camera down and then you bring it back up and you do like maybe 3-4 minutes of individual.
Right.
So you just see individual workouts. And I mean, basically it was just getting off the line and then doing a little, you know, quick gauntlet. And even when they threw him, and I mean, everybody I think posted the videos because the receivers, fortunately for where we stand, are like right in front of us. Mm-hmm. If you want like an offensive lineman, you're probably not getting that. But, or, you know, you got one of the nice fancy TV cameras that has the extra special zoom on it. But, which we have at Fox 4.
Nice.
Shameless plug. But
so you're the only ones that have the super zoom in Kansas City.
We are not the only ones.
Fox 4 is the only local station that has the super zoom camera.
We are not the only ones with that. But when you have the receivers right in front of you, you can see what he's doing. It's just a little bit of a gauntlet, but you could tell like they were throwing it to him a certain way when they had like I like to call them the joustings for American Gladiators. When they have those, they weren't even trying to attempt to like, you know, hit it out like they would anybody else. So it's like they're taking
smart.
It very easy with him. I would doubt he plays. I mean, it's good to see him out there. I mean, that's one thing. That's actually like, I think that's a lot sooner than a lot of us believe because you know how they deliver the injury reports. It's like usually on Thursday, it's not Andy that says it. It's one of the Chiefs communication staff people that says it like, oh yeah, things have changed by the way. Only Jalen Royals is not practicing. Mm-hmm. And we're like, well, and it's like, yeah, he'll be practicing in some. And of course, it was limited. So it's good to see him out there. Mm-hmm. I mean, it could be, you know, a lot quicker than originally thought. Because when you see your head down with the towel down, you think it could be bad.
Oh yeah.
Body language is everything. But you know, the fact that he's come back and you know he's come back from a broken hand before in college and he's at Texas. So I mean, he's a tough kid.
No doubt.
He's a tough kid.
So let me ask you this, Harold: How quick would you be with Juwan Taylor this week? Is it one penalty and out? And would you do it like sub him out in the huddle and make him have to walk out in front of the entire crowd?
Well, you know, like the beauty of St. Joe is that you kind of get to see the rotations a little bit, and you've seen Jalen Moore rotate in at, you know, at a left tackle, at a right tackle, at a guard, you know, like, so
right.
You know, you're not seeing, we don't obviously have the opportunity to see that, but I would think Matt Nagy and others said it best. It's like, there's no excuse for that. And that was the most pointed I think I've ever heard him say. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's no excuse for this. Like, you're a professional. He's admitted it too. You just like side talk in the locker room. You tell like, yeah, he knows. And you got to be professional about it. Dude, does he think some people are out to get him? Maybe just because, you know, he's been on national TV much more often and referees need to know to look out for it. I'm sure there's some part of that.
Yeah.
They have a closer eye on it than maybe some others. But if he knows that, then he has to adjust too. So it's really, you know, I think he's good when he doesn't cost the team. He's very serviceable. It's just a matter of like he knows it. So, and it goes back to the whole word of accountability. Like they know these things are happening. So now just make sure that you don't You don't do it because you're costing the team.
What do you think about George Karlaftis? Because I think that, you know, obviously in the offseason he got paid. He was, I think, outmatched in this game where Joe Alt played left tackle and did well. And now you had to go against a backup right tackle. And still there's really no show of, like, dominance in that role. And that's a role where I thought maybe he would step up. No excuses for him. Like, what's got to happen with George Karlaftis and pressures and sacks and getting to a guy like Jalen Hurts?
I think it's a lot of them. I mean, I think it's the whole line, honestly. Right. It's not so much just George. I mean, you saw a lot of one-on-one matchups. I mean, I can't begin to tell you how many times I saw Herbert looking like, you know, the old polished, prototypical quarterback with a little bounce.
From the 80s.
Little bounce back there. Like
those old videos of the three quarterbacks warming up.
Yeah, like the head up to the old elbow. And just like,
because it looked like they took
this guy's
page,
got time.
Because I thought they took a page out of the Chiefs book. Because I remember when they'd play against Bosa, either one of them, or Max Crosby, they'll let him go forward, and then Mahomes would step up in that little pocket. And that's exactly what Justin Herbert did last week. Yeah. And he was just able to pinpoint anybody. Well, I mean, Keenan Allen had 10 for 70.
Credit the Chargers. I mean, they did their homework in this game. So, I mean, you could tell just by even looking at their social media account how much that game meant to them. I mean, I mean, they're like, this is one of the great days in Chargers history. We'll look back at this like this is the greatest day of all time. Okay. They play again.
That's the thing. They act like they just won the damn Super Bowl.
So, I mean, and you know, if you want to act like that, who's stopping you? You can do that.
Right.
But
it is week one.
Yeah, it's week one. And there's a lot of overreaction to week one. But again, you know, if I see two straight weeks of, oh, they really didn't get to the quarterback.
Right.
And I mean, no offense to Justin Herbert, but I believe Jalen Hurts is a little bit better of a mobile quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this was a banner week for rushing quarterbacks or people who are perceived to be running quarterbacks within the NFL in like the history of week one. So, yeah, something you got to do. Now, everybody's going to say there's going to be a spy or something like that, like, you know, Leo Chanel or somebody like that's going to be the guy responsible for making sure he doesn't get out. And that's a great gut selection, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Leo's a pretty strong guy. He can deal with Jalen Hurts. But, we watched that Dallas game, and you're sitting here like, yeah, he's using the legs a lot because Dallas is giving an opportunity to.
Yeah.
There's one thing you're giving. It's like you're getting 50 free yards. So you have to limit those free yards, you know. You know, simple basics, you know, keep your edge and do all the things that, you know, defensive linemen want to do that make sure that you're keeping contained. He doesn't get out of the pocket and is able to beat you with your legs.
Yeah.
But again, that comes down to, you know, doing your job, basically, which they have to do.
So. But I also think with like this Eagles offense, too, it's not first and 10, it's first and 8, you know? And that's why they have such an advantage, I think, offensively.
Oh, by the way, Saquon Barkley still exists.
But, I mean, when you're starting at first and 8 instead of first and 10 because you got that tush push that's going to get you the yard and a half, 2 yards that you need every single time, you got to do good on first down. I think first down's key for the Chiefs defense this week.
Yeah, well, it's going to be key for a lot. I mean, you cannot have short yardage situations, not with this team. I mean, you can't. Well, we already know with the Eagles, if you get to 3rd and 1, 3rd and 2,
first half,
it's a first down automatically. So, and because nobody's figured out a way to stop that yet. So it's, I agree with your point that they've got to avoid 3rd and short. They've got to avoid 4th and short, and they've got to make sure that they're getting some symbols to quarterback. Because one thing about, and this has been true for Jalen the entire time, is that, you know, after that first read, sometimes it gets a little shaky. Now, granted, if his first read is A.J. Brown, the second read is Devontae Smith, or third is Dallas Goedert, or whichever way it goes, depending upon what play they call, those are three very good options. And, you know, Goddard, I think, was limited a little bit. He may or may not play. But it's still A.J. and Devontae are two darn good options. And we saw what Devontae did in the Super Bowl. So, and you've got to look out for those guys. But Dallas did the thing where they tried to just say, all right, we're going to take A.J. completely out of the game. Uh-huh. That opened up Jalen. So you have to pick and choose your options, which makes them very difficult to defend.
Yeah, sure.
But you've got to make sure you pick the worst option for Jalen to have instead of, you know, making it easy for him.
Because that's where I'm at, because I look at this game and I think about what are the two things that we focus on the defensive side for the Chiefs, the defensive line and the secondary.
Yeah.
So it's like, do you give and take on Saquon Barkley, or do you give and take and let, you know, Jalen try to beat you with his arm with Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown? Because both of those, to me, are the two biggest questions on this defense. Can they get pressure on the D-line, and can they sustain coverage in the secondary? Yeah. I don't know which one I fear more.
Yeah, I mean, it's a pick-your-poison type offense, you know, with the runability of Jalen. And then, you know, again, Saquon Barkley exists. And, yeah, you can – I mean, we saw in the Super Bowl, they did a great job with Saquon.
But Jalen went 21 for 29, I believe it was, and it had a very good day passing. One, he had time.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the Eagles' offensive line, one, they're well coached, and two, because Stoutland does a good job. And then two, I mean, you've got Maialata, you've got Dickerson when he's healthy. I mean, Cam Jurgens has moved in well at centers. Like, they have a great offensive line. I mean, I would say one of the few offensive lines that compares to them is the Chiefs' offensive line. So, one, you've had good practice against a good offensive line for your Chiefs defense. But two, yeah, you're facing a good offensive line who gives them the opportunity to have time in the pocket. So really with the defense, again, we've said this, you know, it's going to be about, you know, containing, you know, making sure he stays in the pocket, you know, make it as difficult as possible. Make sure that he's not, make sure that Saquon, you know, you still take care of him. And then pick and choose your poison, because you want to pick the worst poison, basically. You know, if you're Steve Spagnuolo, you want to make sure you pick that poison that's the worst one. It's like, all right, if every pass play, one, we're getting somebody to him to affect his timing, mm-hmm. and two, we're taking away at least the first read, then you've got a real opportunity, and then you throw in those magical Spags blitzes that gets Tranquil to sacks and something of that nature. I mean, I do believe that it would be hard pressed for me not to believe, I should say, that they haven't had this game plan in for a little bit.
Yeah, right. Okay.
They've had to have something.
Yep.
Just knowing that it was week two, they work on
two 11-hour flights.
Yeah,
you know?
They work on divisional opponents all the time during the offseason. We know that, but I know with this being a week two game, they've had to have a little something up their sleeve, some creativity, maybe some things that we haven't really seen before. They've had to have something, I'm sure, in the pocket. Now, they may not have to use it. You know, that'd be a good thing. But there's something where they've like, okay, they've had some things they've festered and mm-hmm. held on to that they want to take out.
And look, I think for my money, this is now the best quarterback rivalry in the NFL. It's 2-2.
Really?
Yeah. It's 2-2.
It's even,
They've beaten each other in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And, you know, the fan bases really don't like each other. They're two really good quarterbacks right now. They're the two probably best teams in the NFL right now. And when you can have a quarterback rivalry where each side gets theirs, that's a rivalry. I mean, we dominate Buffalo in the playoffs, Baltimore in the playoffs, Cincinnati got their one game. But this Jalen Hurts, Patrick Mahomes thing, it's back and forth. It's really interesting and fun to watch. I think it's the best quarterback rivalry now.
Yeah, and the fact that there's familiarity,
yeah,
you know, that they played each year,
and they
now
play with high stakes all the time.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, I've been fortunate enough. I've been to all four of those games.
Mm-hmm.
Even the one that when it was week three in Philadelphia, I think in 2021, and it was like Hurts' first year, and he was still kind of learning, and the Chiefs were the Chiefs. So, yeah, it's fascinating. I mean, personally, I'm proud of both of those guys. I mean, I think they're both good people, and mm-hmm. you like to see good things happen to good people. But yeah, I mean, because of what you said, the high stakes.
Yeah.
You know, it's good that this is early season and not like a week nine, because I think believe that Monday night game was like a week. It was a midweek.
Yeah.
It was a midseason game.
It was right after the bye. I believe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right
exactly.
Before Thanksgiving, I think they.
Yeah.
Had
it was.
That
it
game.
Was.
Yeah.
It was middle of the season.
It was one of those rare after a bye. Andy Reid lost.
And it was like a 10-1, 9-2,
10-1.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
like,
yep.
Yeah, it was a very. It was. It was the game of the week.
Yeah.
And I knew it was a Monday night game. So, yeah, I mean, this is always going to be big stakes. I mean, like, you know, I've talked to people from Fox Sports this week, and I mean, they're bringing their live show down here. I think they've got three live shows going on at PNL starting today.
They've got a 2-hour pregame show.
Show at you know, Power and Light. And so, I mean, there's a lot around this. And I mean, people have been planning for this game. So,
yep.
One, when you mentioned Eagles fans, I would expect to see a good number of Eagles fans
the
trip. I remember when they were here last time, they were very vocal,
mm-hmm.
and I'm pretty sure they'll do the exact same thing again. I mean, I've got some friends of mine in the media in Philadelphia, and every text I get is, hey, is the dynasty done? Hey, is the dynasty done? God. I'm like, it's not. No, like,
yeah, stop.
It's one game didn't make a season.
It's amazing how one game has affected everybody.
Yeah.
We've all lost our collected minds.
Like, have they lost their edge? I'm like, no. Like, what are you talking
it's
about?
People wanting it's the like, dynasty to be.
Oh,
done.
Scott, it's going to be down year. And it's like, well, gosh, but down year is a division championship and making the Super Bowl. And
that's a down
that's
year.
A real down year.
Yeah. Wow, we only went 12-5 and made the Super Bowl this year.
A down year is when, you know, when we're looking at where we're inside the facility at the end of I think it was, oh, was it OTAs or mini? Yeah, but at the end of mandatory mini camp, and they're passing out AFC championship rings like they're party favors. Yeah, that's a drill down year in Kansas City. Like,
put this next to
here you go. Here's your AFC championship ring.
Yeah, fine. Sorry. I didn't want to buy these this year, but whatever. Geez, we got
like,
them.
So, like, folks, it's not over.
No,
no, it's not over. Like, I mean, I know we're speaking to a Kansas City crowd here, but like,
man, but there's some out there that do think it is.
It's not over. Like, I got news for you. If they lose this game, it's still not over.
No, it's not.
There's still 15 more games. Like, it's not over. So, like, it's just,
but it's now, and we all just want to react to now. Nobody ever wants to just let it play out. Yeah. That's not as fun as saying, I think this team is done, or I think this team is a Super Bowl team.
And it did help that there's like 9 days in between games. So you had, you know, like we've had, you know, people have listened to their radio show, people have watched their TV shows or whatever, and watched their favorite, listen to their favorite podcast, watch whatever on YouTube, and they've said, oh, I'm like, guys,
stop.
It's one game.
Yeah.
One game.
It is one game, and that's the thing. In the NFL, it's one game. We move on. We go to week two, and even if they do lose this week, okay, so you still have 15 more of these things to go, and they were 15-2 last year. It just happens at the beginning of the season. You lose, you win 9 in a row to start the year, and then you lose 2 in a row. It's still losing 2 in a row, but for whatever reason, you've already got those 9, those 2 in a row. I'd rather lose at the beginning and build and get better towards the end than peak at the beginning, and then at the end of the year, we're going, where did this team go? What happened?
You know? Like, let's take the defense. I believe Tyrann Mathieu said it, you know, someone who was in the room with the defense. He said, like, Spags defense usually typically get better over the course of the season anyway.
Yep.
And I believe the same with the offense. Now, could the run offense be existent?
Well, that's what I was going to. I wanted to talk to you about that.
I don't know if that's like you know, a thing that needs to improve so much as they just need to like
use it,
try to do it.
Hey, we got this running game.
Like, it's like, how do we improve on it? Hand off the ball. Maybe have more than 10 carry, like, you know, like stuff like that. You know, I mean, game flow is game flow, but you know, like, oh man, we're down receivers. Oh boy, what do we do? Like, I mean,
run
to football. Yeah,
no doubt.
I mean, I don't like seeing games where Patrick Mahomes is the lead rusher.
I don't
seeing that.
What if he rushes for 210 yards this week?
Look, if he does it, great. You know, whatever it takes to win, you do it. But you know, you wouldn't like to see it.
We were talking earlier. What if he rushes for 210 yards? What's the outcome of the game?
Then I'd hope they'd won. Either that, or I'd be asking. I'd ask the Eagles, be like, "What did y'all? You did something wrong? To allow a quarterback run for 210 yards, and his name was not M.Vic or something."
Let me ask you this before we get you out of here, Harold. We appreciate you coming in on the roundtable today. Biggest advantage for the Eagles, I think, is Jalen Carter versus Kingsley.
Mm-hmm.
What's the biggest advantage for the Chiefs versus the Eagles? Is it just Mahomes? Is that the answer?
I mean, that's the easy answer. That's the easy answer. I mean, because
I'm scared.
All honesty, the answer would have been, and this is unfortunate, but the answer would have been Xavier Worthy.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, I still like the tight end advantage, and I'm not just talking about just Travis Kelce.
Because Goddard's questionable.
I would like to see Noah Gray more involved in this offense.
Yes, please.
I think he's pretty darn good.
Yeah.
I think you should use him.
You think he's good.
I think there's an advantage there because, I mean, Zach Bond's there, but the Eagles got a couple of rookies at linebacker. And let's be real about the Eagles' defense. Milton Williams is, you know, applying his trade in New England now. Josh Sweat's in Arizona. Like, that defensive line's not –
but when say 4 or 5 guys from last year that aren't here anymore?
So it's like only 6 returning. So, like, the defense is not exactly the defense that you saw in the Super Bowl.
No doubt about it.
And so there's some – and I would say anybody that goes after Dory Jackson right now, barbecue chicken alert right there. So they're not really high under CB2. And the Eagles must not be very high under rush either if they're just getting Za'Darius Smith off the sidelines.
Yeah.
So – there's definitely some points to attack there on the defense. I think both teams are probably seeing something on the other team's defense that they think is something they can attack. So does that mean that I'm saying this could be a high-scoring game? No, I think it could be actually pretty sluggish for a little bit and then really spruce up in the second half. But there's definitely some opportunities there with CB2 on the Eagles and some of the linebackers there. If you get them in space, I think there's some definite room to attack. And Yeah, I mean, some of that's the run game. Some of that's just getting your tight ends in space. I think this has got to be a dominant day for them.
No doubt about it. We appreciate Harold Kuntz of Fox 4 here with us on the roundtable. Harold, enjoy the game on Sunday, and then enjoy this Royal Series against your Philadelphia Phillies as well.
You had to throw that in at the end,
too. I had to, man. You know me.
Okay.
Speaking of Richards of the Week, Dusty Likens, ladies and gentlemen.
I will accept the Royals beating the Phillies because, as we know, losing 3 out of 4 Cleveland, not good. The Mariners decided to, like, win the last 6, so
why did the Mariners decide to play baseball?
Well, here's the thing about the Mariners. Like, the Mariners are like,
They quit last week.
We're not even worried about the Royals. We're trying to win our own division right now.
That's right.
They're not worried about, like, yeah. So, I mean, hey, the Royals, God bless them. They had so many injuries with their starting pitching unit, and they got to this point. So,
hey, if the Royals can overcome these injuries and be in it all year, why can't the Chiefs? They have a better track record than the Royals have had over the last decade, right?
Well, yeah.
And the Royals did an amazing job this year of holding this thing together with all these injuries.
I mean, there's a lot of bandages and glue. And
every starting pitcher's been on the DL.
Yeah, I mean, preparation H everywhere at that darn thing.
And they used some of that this morning. Yeah.
Oh, my. Oh, boy. Right. Well, that's a good exit.
Generic.
Way to end it.
Harold, we appreciate the time here on the roundtable brought to you by Kansas Lottery. Get in the game with the Chiefs Kingdom scratch ticket, only available from the Kansas Lottery. Top prize is $75,000. Plus, enter drawings for a chance to win Chiefs experiences. See kslottery.com. Harold, we'll talk to you a little bit later on in the season. We appreciate the time.
All right, man.
Coming up next, it's our Richards of the Week. Bob's already got his. We'll give you ours as well. Here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Kansas City, this is Josh Simmons, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
Oh, Richard, I'm so happy. Hold me.
Richard of the Week.
Not that guy, pal. Trust me. You're not that guy.
Back in, final segment here on a Friday. It is Richard of the Week, and it is brought to you by the wonderful Surfside Iced Tea and Vodka and Surfside Lemonade and Vodka, proud partner of the Kansas City Royals. Each can of Surfside is only 100 calories, and the best part is it is zero bubbles, and it feels like summer out there, so I expect to see tons of pictures on my social media this weekend of you at the tailgate drinking those Surfsides because you won't have any troubles going to that game. You can throw down 3 or 4 of them, babies. Had the black cherry lemonade the other day. Fire.
Ooh, yeah, that sounds good.
It was 90 degrees on a Wednesday, and it was a hell of a Wednesday. And I said, you know what, Jeremy, let's go get a drink.
Smash.
I said, all right. I went to my buddy's store. I said, let me get a Surfside. He said, how about black cherry? I said, okay.
All right.
That's what I did, baby. I put it down. Richard of the Week, Bob, your name's first and only on the list. But
well,
we
I guess
ours.
I'm the only one who did the homework, huh?
No, we all did it. We all did it. I've got it bookmarked.
I'm going with these two students at Cornell University. I don't know if you've heard this story, which is very interesting because my mother's friend's grandson goes to Cornell. He had not heard this story.
So did the Nard Dog.
Yes, he did. That's exactly right. So a pair of Cornell University students killed a 120-pound black bear. Okay, they had their hunting licenses legal. They didn't do anything wrong from that standpoint. What they did, though, was they killed the bear, and then they brought him back to the dorm room and cleaned the carcass in the dorm.
Dear Lord.
Whoa.
Dear Lord.
The two undergrads who had valid New York State hunting licenses killed the bear lawfully over the weekend, Cornell spokesperson said. The students then brought the animal into a residence hall for processing.
Oh, my gosh.
Before a police report was made when a complaint was filed Sunday night, no charges have been filed. An investigator with the Department of Environmental Conservation, which oversees hunting in New York State, visited the school, found no code violations. That means the bear was everything was done legally. But if you're going to kill a bear or if you're going to do any of this kind of stuff, probably don't want to do the taxidermy in your dorm room. Where That's there are crazy. Other people yes. that have to smell and deal. Like, what are you doing with the bear parts? Are you flushing them?
Yeah, you're going to
Are you
to
clogging the toilet? Are you putting them down the community shower
community,
drain?
Or community trash?
Or community trash. Yeah, you're like throwing that in a dumpster and
or
stuff
you
like that.
Put it in a meat grinder and make burger patties.
You could do that as well. I mean, so it's just, it to me, it's just, I mean, it's unbelievable. Like, go hunt, do your thing. Even if you killed a deer or if you killed a moose or an elk or something like that, that's normal. And you brought up, don't clean your carcasses in your dorm room.
I think that's a good lesson to take from
right.
this.
My mother's friend's grandson had no idea that this story happened. This isn't a big school. And he's like, no, I hadn't heard about that. I'm like, how do you not hear about that? They're cleaning a bear in the dorm.
This feels like a, like that's like an Alabama State University thing, not a Cornell.
Yeah, right. No, yeah, that's something in the South.
Yes.
Cooled out today. Cooled out yesterday. Mac, who's your Richard of the Week?
Oh, man, mine came early after the Sunday night electric game that we saw in the Bills-Ravens. You're this Bills fan.
Your Richard came early.
All right, congrats to the Baltimore Ravens, regular season champs. Y'all played your asses off. My Uber's here calling it early, fourth quarter. Got to give Zay Flowers his flowers. Lamar Jackson, Derrick Henry ran it down our d***s. We look abysmal. The secondary sucks. I would love to see Josh Allen throw the ball downfield one time. Check down King. James Cook just got a bag. What did he do? Not a f***ing thing. Tight ends look like s***. Secondary's dog piss, trash, piss poor. We'll get him next week, right? We don't play the Jets anyway, so who cares? We'll probably win. This team stinks. Good night.
Total panic. Panicking about the Jets while the game's not over. Meanwhile, his team and Josh Allen is having one of the most historic fourth quarters the National Football League has ever seen. You're a Richard.
Can he, though, like, can both be right, though? Like, so much has been talked about that game, and nobody nationally that I have seen anyway has mentioned that they gave up 41 points on defense. Like, is that a real concern? Because I think it has to be. So I'm listening to that guy. I'm like, big picture, he may not be wrong, right? They had a great fourth quarter. They still gave up 41 points on defense in their first game.
Josh Allen, though, throw it down the field. It's like, okay. James Cook, what did you do for me? Had one of the biggest plays in the fourth quarter. Well, ran like 60 yards on a catch.
Piss poor.
Yes, exactly.
That guy's down bad, man. Yeah. And then I wonder what his Uber driver did on the way home. Hey, I'm going to turn this on for you.
Exactly.
Turn it off. You don't tell me what to do. There's a play. Touchdown, Bills. It's a three-point game. Here we go. Derrick Henry fumbles. Oh.
Why did I leave? See, but that's the thing, though. I mean, and I should take my own advice because these late games, I go to bed early. I don't care. I'm almost 50 years old. I need my beauty rest, right?
Well, we're waking up.
Yeah, and we're also getting up at, 3:45, 4 o'clock every single morning. So it's completely different for our lifestyle and whatnot. But if you're going to that game, like, NFL games aren't over, man. Like, I think that's one thing that we've seen in recent vintage of the NFL, where an 11, 14 point lead used to feel safe back in the day. An 11 to 14 point lead is nothing anymore in the NFL. Those things evaporate fast. And a lot of the problem is it's an offensive league. Everything's high flying. Nobody's willing to run the ball and grind out a game and finish it off.
I think the words dissipate.
In your face.
My Richard of the Week, quickly, as we run out of time on the show, is the Browns safety, Grant Delbert.
Woo! Delpit.
Delbert. saying that Derrick Henry is not hard to tackle. Okay. One, you're the Browns. Two, you're a defensive player. Three, Derrick Henry fumbled in a massive game and had over 170 yards rushing.
Yeah,
you're a Richard. Now your team's screwed. Now Derrick Henry has more fuel to his fire that he does not need. And now you're a Richard because you're calling out the king. And if you keep coming at the king, you better not miss. And I hope to everything that is holy that we see Derrick Henry on Angry Runs with Kyle Brandt on Monday morning on Good Morning Football when we do this show in the studio. And it's Derrick Henry absolutely bodying safety Grant Delpit.
As soon as I saw the comments from Delpit and saw Henry's response, bet the over on Derrick Henry this week. And bet like that Delpit guy. He's going to be buried on the ground. Like, he's going to get run over so hard, his imprint is going to be there on the ground. What a stupid comment to say.
You're an idiot. You don't know what you're talking about.
I mean, I like it because it's great content for us.
Good. Yeah.
But, like, if you're the rest of the Browns, you're like, dude, we're the Browns. And Myles Garrett, like,
I am hammering Derrick Henry rushing yards, Derrick Henry touchdown twice in this game against the Browns. And I know you say they play tight.
They do. They do.
But they don't have idiots like this saying this about Derrick Henry.
Sometimes you need a guy like that to say something stupid, maybe to loosen you up a little bit, too.
I saw a weird stat from Pardon My Take that Derrick Henry's still like 250 yards behind his high school rushing
total. I thought it was a lot more than that. I thought it was like 2,500 yards or something ridiculous. Like, because his senior year in high school, he had like 4,500 yards rushing. He has over 12,000 rushing yards in high school.
That's borderline like child abuse. Like, Derrick Henry was 4,000 boys.
4,000 plus yards his senior year in high school. His 12,000 yards rushing in high school.
That's crazy.
It's nuts.
That's amazing.
You ever want something to watch while you're on the John? Type in Derrick Henry high school football videos.
Yeah.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's crazy.
I mean, imagine being that little kid at safety that's trying to tackle him. Come on, that's going to be Grant Delpit over the weekend.
Derrick Henry, 12,124 yards, a national record. He had 153 touchdowns in his senior year. He rushed 4,261 yards.
4,200.
And he had 55 touchdowns. He averaged 327 yards a game in high school. Good luck, Delbert. Coming up next, it's Cody Gold and Drew live from Community America. You want to be this guy? You want to be this guy every time, or a female? Go do something nice for somebody. You never know. It could change their day, their week, their month, their year. It is simply cool to care. Happy Red Friday, Chiefs Sunday. Let's go, Kansas City. We'll talk to you Monday.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.